And so we're learning a little bit about who Jesus is over these several weeks. We're learning a little bit about his work, what he did, and what that means for our lives today. And today, we're talking about Jesus the prophet. In fact, God had sent many men, many people through the years to share his word with his people and with the world. And Jesus came as really the greatest of these. He came not just to bring God's word, but to actually be God's word in our lives, to bring a message both of grace and forgiveness and a message of challenge when it was appropriate, to teach us how we should live, how we've fallen short of God's expectations, but always, always that he would forgive us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So that's where we're going. And before we get there, I have a question for you to think about. Have you ever shared something? Something. It could be a message, could be a joke, could be a gift, could be something else. Have you ever tried to share something that you thought was really, really good, really important, but the recipient just rejected it? This is like a staple of comedy in our culture. You think about sitcoms and the, you know, those TV shows where you got a family and you know, it's always like, it seems like the mom is this super intelligent, super beautiful person who never does anything wrong and holds the whole family together, and dad's kind of dumb usually. That's not a great representation of families, but that's the way, what we see on TV, in TV land, man, this happens all the time in those shows. There's a birthday, an anniversary, or something coming up, and dad gets a really dumb gift. I remember from when I was young watching, I think it was The Simpsons once, that animated sitcom TV show, and Homer loves bowling, Marge does not, and so of course, for her birthday, Homer gets her a bowling ball, and Marge is not impressed. I remember another show that was on all the time when I was coming home from school. I was young every afternoon, Home Improvement with Tim the Toolman Taylor, played by Tim Allen. He's way into tools. His wife is not necessarily so. And so one day as a gift, he got her a drill, I think, and she was not happy. And you know, heaven help you if you get your wife a vacuum or something like that, as man, what a big gift. I think I actually have done that, but I think Amber asked for it, so it worked out well. You know, another way, this happened in my life this week. I saw something offered and rejected. I was with my two girls, Anna and Ruth. They're both 2 years old, and they're at that age where they really want to do things themselves. And I think we were getting ready for bed. Ruth wants a doll, a baby doll, because she sees her sister Anna wander in, and Anna's got a doll. She's ready for bed. And, Ruth says, oh, a doll, I want one. She doesn't go get it. I think I'm changing her diaper or something, but Anna's very sweet. She runs and she grabs a doll to give to her sister, and she walks back in this room with the biggest smile on her face and reaches out with a doll, and Ruth turns and looks and screams, no! Because she wanted to do it herself. She was rejected. Anna being two, she got over it quick. So it was okay. In our lives, in a more serious way, this happens too. Have you ever wronged someone? You realized it and you went to go apologize and they reject the apology and don't offer forgiveness. You know, oh wow, that is really hard. Maybe family reconciliation. We've been apart, we want to get together. Or maybe we just want to reconnect after we haven't been connected for a long time. And the family member, the other party, they say, no, just not now. I'm not interested. That's hard too. As Christians, as the people of God, there's something else we can think about that, and that is the message we have. In fact, we might wonder, we have this wonderful message of good news and grace in Jesus Christ, that Jesus has come to forgive us, that Jesus has come to make us new, that the gift Jesus gives us through his death on the cross and his resurrection, it's available to everyone, everywhere, and there's, you know, it's not hard to receive. We just have to trust him and believe in him. And yet, we look around and it seems like so many of our friends, our family members, our neighbors have ignored that message or rejected it themselves. Or even maybe we think about our kids and we've spent so much time and effort to raise them in faith, to build that into them. And then when they get old enough to kind of make that decision on their own, they leave it behind. That rejection is so hard for us to understand and how and why it happens. Today, as we're talking about Jesus the prophet, we're looking a little bit at rejection, and we're seeing how God responds to that. Let's look at our scripture reading. What we see in Jesus the prophet is that he shares God's truth regardless. And as we read from our passage today, Jesus is there and he's teaching and he's in his hometown. In verse 16, we read that Jesus, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read. So he's in Nazareth, his hometown. Now, of course, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but if you know the story, Jesus and his family, they fled from Bethlehem because King Herod, evil King Herod, got news of this new baby. People were calling the new king of the Jews. Herod did not want to give up his position as king, so he sent soldiers to kill the babies in the town, the baby boys. And so Mary and Joseph, they leave. They get out ahead of time. They head to Egypt. And after a time, they return. And when they return to Israel, they settled in Nazareth, in this region of Galilee. And so this is where Jesus had really grown up. It's his hometown. And on the Sabbath day, they go into the synagogue. And they had services, in some ways, very similar to what we do here today. They would read God's word. They would talk about it. And because Jesus is a traveling teacher, he's a rabbi, he's going around doing miracles and things like that too, but he's sharing the good news. And what they would do in that day is they would just invite, if they had a traveling teacher, they'd have him teach. He's here. Let's use him. So that's what Jesus does. He gets up. He reads the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and then he teaches on it. And it's this beautiful message of good news that Jesus shares. In verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is an awesome message. And not only that, but Jesus goes on. He says, today this scripture is fulfilled. It's coming true right now in me. And the people like it. They say, this is wonderful. All spoke well of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. And they ask, isn't this Joseph's son? And sometimes we read those words and we think that they're saying, well, isn't this just like, you know, he's a carpenter. What's he doing talking about this stuff? Here the people are impressed. Here they're saying, wow, is this really Jesus? He's that kid we all knew. And here he is, all grown up, right? And look at the things he has to say. They're impressed. But you know, Jesus knows their hearts. And just like God's prophets, they have kind of two messages to share. It's one message. It's God's word, but it comes in two ways. One is there's this message of grace, this good news, what God has done for you. But there's also a message of challenge. We call this the law, that when we hear God's word, what he expects from us, or even we just hear the fact that we are sinful, that we want things that aren't what God wants, that we do things that God doesn't want us to do. This is the message of the law. And so a prophet, if you're sharing God's word, well, he shares all of it. And so he knows what's in these people's hearts, and he knows actually they're, you know, they like the good stuff, but they're not ready to actually turn to the Lord. They're not ready to follow him. They're looking for something good, but they're not looking for the challenge that comes with it. And so Jesus continues. He says to the people, surely you'll quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself, which means, you know, hey, prove it. Just like you don't go to a doctor who's in terrible health and, you know, really overweight and has all sorts of stuff wrong that he could prevent, right? Physician, heal yourself. Prove your words, and you'll tell me, do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum. Because Jesus, he's been traveling around the area doing miracles, healing people, driving out demons. And the people say, hey, we want, the words are good, but we want the meat, right? Give us something now. Jesus goes on. He says, I'm not going to show these things to you. There's no faith here. And he tells, he mentions a couple stories from the Old Testament as a way to do this. Truly, I tell you, no prophet's accepted in his hometown. I assure you, there's many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a famine throughout the land, and yet Elijah wasn't sent to any of them but a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. He's talking about an Old Testament story where the great prophet Elijah, he asked a widow and her son one day for a little bit of food in the midst of a famine. So no one's got much. And the widow says, hey, we don't have any bread, but I've got just a little bit of flour at home, a little bit of olive oil, and we've got almost nothing, but we'll share what we have. And she does so. And after that, Elijah, he stays with the widow and her son for the whole length of the famine, 3.5 years. And miraculously, with Elijah staying there, this tiny little bit of flour in the jar that's almost empty never actually runs out. And this tiny bit of olive oil in the jar that never runs empty, the tiny little bit of olive oil in the jar that's almost empty, it never runs out either. And so the widow, her son, and Elijah, they're all provided for through this time of famine. They're saved. And even Elijah later, he rescues the woman's son from death. He brings him back after the son dies from a sickness. And Jesus says, there were lots of widows in Israel, weren't they? Elijah wasn't in Israel. He was in this town, Zarephath, this nearby nation, because apparently he couldn't find anyone to give him a little bit of food to eat. He couldn't find anyone to trust the Lord in Israel at that time. He shares another story about Elisha. There's Elijah and then Elisha, who followed him. Elisha healed a man named Naaman, a great man in the from the nation of Syria nearby, and he healed Naaman of his leprosy. Jesus says, well, certainly there were people with leprosy in Israel. Why did the guy from Syria have to come all the way to be the one who was healed? None of the people in Israel were healed. He's saying because there was no faith there. He's making the connection between these prophets and the people of Israel then and the people he's talking to right here. He says, no prophets accepted here. He knows you all won't accept me if I don't do miracles, but that means there's no faith here, and so I'm not going to do any. Well, the people are not happy at this. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. In fact, they drive him out of town to the edge of the cliff on which the town is built. And here, actually, it's kind of ironic. Jesus does one miracle in his hometown, and that is in verse 30. When they get him to the edge of the cliff, Jesus walks right through the crowd and continues on his way. Funny when you think about it. And so Jesus says these hard words to God's people. You know, he has the good news everyone loved to hear. He has the hard news that people did not want to hear, and even they were going to kill him for it. But Jesus says both parts. He's a messenger. He's God's messenger, and so he doesn't get to decide the message. He just delivers it, and he delivers it faithfully to God's people. And he does this. You know, sometimes we feel like God says hard things to us, maybe because he doesn't like us, because I don't know what else, but that's kind of an attitude you hear out there. Well, it's not because of that. Jesus says these hard things to us. God shares some hard things in his word because he wants us to turn to him. Because these hard things show us our own need. They show us our own inadequacy, that we can't actually live up to God's standards in our lives, and we need forgiveness. And so the message of God, whether it's the gospel and it's good news and it sounds wonderful that, hey, you are forgiven through Jesus, through his death on the cross and his resurrection, or whether it's this hard news, this law that says you can't measure up, both of these things are messages of love from God to us, because both of these things are meant to draw us closer to him. Jesus is showing God's love as he shares God's word faithfully in his hometown, and he would continue to do this through his ministry, right? As Jesus continued in his ministry, that opposition became greater and greater. The opposition not just to Jesus and what he was doing, but the opposition to God's word and God's message, until it got so great they killed him. But Jesus rose again. And so what does this mean for us? That Jesus is the greatest prophet and he shares God's word faithfully out of love for the people around him. Well, what's true in our lives is that you can't separate a message from the recipient. You can't separate the message from the hearer. You know, we could have a Bible and we can say, yes, that's God's word. But if no one's reading it, it's not a message. It's just a bunch of words. I could be standing here sharing a message, and if no one was here, that's not much use to anyone. Well, maybe a little bit to me, but it's no message. It's just a bunch of words. You can't separate the message from the hearer. And that means our attitude towards the hearer needs to be right when we're sharing God's word in our lives, in our families, with our kids, with our friends, with our neighbors. Sometimes our hearts aren't in the right place when we do this, you know. What this means for us is that when we are thinking about sharing God's word, talking about our faith, and being religious in general, we can check our hearts and ask myself, am I doing this out of love for the people around me? This doesn't mean we only share the things that are easy to hear. It means we do it all out of love. What this means is we don't use God's word maybe just to beat people up. because we say, oh, that person, they're not the same as me, or they make me uncomfortable, or something like that. We can sometimes use God's word to beat people up, but we don't do that. Not if we're acting like Jesus. This means also we don't use God's word just to maybe change someone's behavior. That's another pitfall we fall into. We focus so much on the challenge, the law side. We say, you got to be living right and acting right and all this sort of stuff. And that's important. It's true. But we live and act as Christians, not in order to earn God's favor, but we live and act as Christians because we have received God's favor and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Now we're living in response to that beautiful gift. This also means, you know, just as we don't only share the hard parts, we also don't only share the nice and easy parts. We don't use God's word just to make people happy. We don't use God's word just to make me happy, by somehow picking and chooses the pieces I like. You know, I like that gospel. I like that grace. I like what Jesus says about how we treat our neighbors, but I don't like the hard stuff, right? We can't cut out the hard parts either, the parts that talk about our inadequacy, our sinfulness, and even the reality of judgment and things like that, because without the judgment, well, there's really no reason to care about or to believe or cling to the gospel. And so what this means is it's not like two parts we can separate, but it's one message. It's one God's word. And as we share that word, we share it in its fullness, and we share it out of love, not because it's good for me, although it probably is good for me to share God's word, but because it's good for my neighbor, as we grow in faith together, as we even maybe come to faith, as we share that with someone who doesn't know about Jesus. And so as the people of God, we share God's word in its fullness. We share God's love we share God's word out of love. Jesus is that greatest prophet, but now he says, come and be like me. And so we follow after him. Whether we share that message through our words, and we talk to our friends, our family, our neighbors, our kids about Jesus and who he is. Maybe we share that message through our actions as we pray with our families, as we raise our young children in faith, as we show the world what it means to be a Christian. We can share that message through our actions as well. But we share it all. We share God's word in its fullness. We need that message, all of it, because it's this message that saves us, and this is the message that we're given to share as well, because God is working through us to save the world. Amen. Let's stand.